This is Todd Zwillick. On the anniversary of the election of Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi, standing in the same square where the public cheered his election just 1 year ago, hundreds of thousands gathered in Tahrir Square and millions across the country in Egypt demanding Morsi's resignation. Now, the protesters, angry with the Muslim Brotherhood, stormed into their headquarters, clashed with members trapped inside that building. Meanwhile, protesters threw Molotov cocktails and stones at the building and set fire to the logo on top of the headquarters. Ahead of the violent protest this weekend, the highest religious authority in Egypt, the Al-Azhar Institute, warned that the country is at risk of sliding into civil war, and Mohamed Morsi himself seemed to be trying to make amends. In a widely televised speech on Wednesday, marking his first year in office, he admitted to making mistakes. Listen.
I did my best with the loyal people of this nation to evaluate the situation. I was right in some cases and wrong in others.
Joining us now to discuss the protests and the future stability or instability of Egypt is Michael Wahid Hanna, a senior fellow at the Century Foundation. Hi, Michael.
Hi, good to be with you.
Joining me in studio and reporting from Cairo, Dalia Siada, Egyptian blogger and activist. Dalia, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Let me start with you, Dalia, since you're on the ground there in Cairo. Give us a sense of what unfolded over the weekend. What's happening on the ground in the square and across Cairo?
I think yesterday was a very special day that not only Egyptians, but the whole world will remember forever. People got out in very large numbers, and we were asking for one specific demand, which is immediate resignation of the president and setting a date for a new presidential elections.
If Mohamed Morsi goes, Dalia Ziada, what in your mind is next? People are upset with the Muslim Brotherhood, but is it the case that somebody like Mohamed Morsi at least represents stability at a tumultuous time?
The people are not just protesting because they are upset with Mohamed Morsi, but because they think that the Muslim Brotherhood acted as a big rock in our way to democracy. The same thing happened with the military last year when they were not good enough in running state affairs and they failed in doing politics in the country. Thus, the people went out and said, no, we don't want you anymore. We want presidential elections to have a civilian president. This led to having a President Morsi, and there were no constitutions, there were no institutions to protect us against any abuse of power, and thus he abused his powers over the past year, and he was working for the interests of his group, the Muslim Brotherhood group, not for the interests of the whole Egypt.
Dalia Ziada, stay there if you would, because I want to turn to Michael Wahid Hanna, senior fellow at the Century Foundation. You heard what Dalia was saying on the ground in Cairo. It's probably nothing new to you, but we also heard tape of Mohamed Morsi trying to make amends. Does that go anywhere at this point? Does sort of a politician's apology go over in Egypt at this point?
The speech from last week was not particularly successful. It came very late. What was offered was, in a sense, airy promises of reconciliation and dialogue without any type of real substance to what was being said. In fact, in many ways, much of the speech, I think, aggravated the political scene prior to the protests and ensured that they would be massive. I think it helped to bring turnout to the streets.
Is there an institutional remedy to this other than mass protests in the streets demanding, as Dalia said, to unelect Mohamed Morsi? Is there any other method by which they can get that, a constitutional method, trying to get a sense of what the people who are dissatisfied can actually do if Morsi refuses to go?
Well, I think there's two possibilities. One is simple resignation in the face of perhaps an ungovernable country and mass protest and essentially non-cooperation and insurrection within institutions of the state. His rule might not be sustainable. So resignation obviously is an option at any moment. The other constitutional option, I think, is Article 150, which provides the president with the power to call for referenda on issues of supreme national interest. One could imagine a scenario, and this obviously wouldn't be voluntary in the full sense,
right?
But a scenario whereby a referendum is called on the continuation of Mohamed Morsi's presidency.
So he could do that?
He could. Obviously, there would have to be a push in regard to that being called. The protest movement, to the extent that we can call it a sort of coherent thing, is pushing for early presidential elections. That's a slightly dicier proposition in terms of its legal grounding, unless Mohamed Morsi decides to resign.
John Kerry is in the Middle East, has been in Israel. We haven't heard too much from the Secretary of State. What does the United States want here from this situation? Do they even know?
Well, they don't know. Throughout this transition, what has been most important is getting to the end of transition and seeing the situation stabilize. And I think the United States has at times misjudged the political dynamics at play in the country, and I think are probably taken aback by the size of this opposition to Morsi. For a long time, the U.S. has assumed that this was the pathway to stability, that the Muslim Brotherhood represented political equilibrium in the sense of the sort of dominant political force in the country, and this was the one coherent group that could bring stability to Egypt. And I think that's a mistake.
Dalia Ziada, back into the streets today for you?
Yes, of course. And democratically speaking, he should listen to the people as long as democracy is the rule of the people.
In Cairo, Dalia Ziada, Egyptian blogger and activist, and here in studio, Michael Wahid Hanna, senior fellow at the Century Foundation. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.